Unit 6, Chapter 6, page 181. For the purpose of clear understanding of the subject, Chapter 6 has been divided into Part A and Part B. Part A deals with theories of employment, while value of money and theories of money and inflation are discussed in Part B. Structure, Unit 1, Part A. 6.1, Objectives. 6.2, Introduction to the Theory of Employment. 6.3, Classical Theory of Employment. 6.4, Say's Law of Market. 6.5, Remedies for Unemployment and Criticisms of Classical Theory. 6.6, Keynesian's Theory of Employment. 6.7, Effective Demand. 6.8, Keynes' Extended Model. 6.9, Differences between Classical and Keynesian Theories. 6.10, Practical Importance of Keynesian Theory and Its Criticisms. 6.11, Consumption Function, Propensity to Consume. 6.12, Keynes' Psychological Law of Consumption. 6.13, Investment Function, Propensity to Invest. 6.14, Marginal Efficiency of Capital. 6.15, Principle of Multiplier. And 6.16, Principle of Accelerator. Part B. 6.17, Demand for Money. 6.18, Liquidity Preference. 6.19, Value of Money. 6.20, Quantity Theory of Money. 6.21, Fisher's Equation, Cash Transaction Approach. 6.22, Cambridge Equation, Cash Balance Approach. 6.23, Types of Inflation, Effect and Limitations. 6.24, Points to Remember. 6.25, Keywords. 6.26, Check Your Progress. And 6.27, Suggested Readings. Page 182. 6.1, Objectives. 1. To comprehend the classical theory of employment. 2. To analyze the Keynesian theory of employment with new concepts. 3. The Orient Determinants of Money Value in Economic Analysis. 4. To know the contributions of classical school in the determination of money value. 5. To gain more knowledge about economists' viewpoint in relation to value of money. 6. To understand the types of inflation, its effects and limitations. 6.2. Introduction to the Theory of Employment. Economists since long time have pondered upon various factors that determine the levels of employment and output in the economy. The study of the levels of employment and output occupies an important place in the macroeconomics as a major determinant of national income. The contribution of classical economists and of J.M. Keynes to the theory of employment is noteworthy. Classical economics and Keynesian economics are two different schools of approach. Classical economics was founded by Adam Smith and Keynesian economics by John Maynard Keynes. However, the two are quite different to each other. Following discussion provides a clear picture of what each school of thought is and how they differ to each other. 6.3. The Classical Theory of Employment. The term classical economics was first used by Karl Marx to explain the economic thought of Ricardo and his predecessors. However, Keynes used the term to denote Ricardo's successors also, like J.B. Say, Alfred Marshall, A.C. Pigou, and others, who propagate the classical thinking and theories. The fundamental principle of the classical theory is that the economy is self-regulating and the economy's resources are fully employed. While circumstances that arise from time to time may cause the economy to fall below or to exceed the natural level of full employment, self-adjustment mechanisms exist within the market system that work to bring the economy back to the full employment level. The operation of Smith's invisible hand, the classical assumption that the economy is always at or near the national level of real GDP or full employment, is based on two firmly held beliefs: Say's law and belief that prices, wages and interest rates are flexible. Page 183. Thus, classes regard existence of full employment as normal phenomenon and any deviation from it as abnormal and temporary. This temporary phenomenon is set right by the operation of market forces. Assumptions of classical theory. 1. Existence of full employment. 2. Existence of capitalist economy. 3. Perfect competition in product and factor market. 4. Homogeneity of labor. 5. Savings and investment equalities brought about by rate of interest. 6. Wage price flexibility. 7. Neutrality of money. Money is just a medium of exchange. 8. Non-intervention of the government on economic activities. 9. Long-run full employment equilibrium. 6.4. Say's law of market. This law of market is advocated by famous French economist Jean-Baptiste Say. According to Say's law, when an economy produces a certain level of real GDP, it also generates the income needed to purchase that level of real GDP. Thus, the Say's law of market, supply creates its own demand oblique market. Suppose an economy produces and supplies good worth rupees 50 crores, the same amount of demand will be created, the same amount of reward will be generated in the form of rent to landowners, wages to labor, interest to capital owners, and profit to organizers. Thus, according to Say, there is no possibility of general overproduction leading to unemployment in the economy. Wage price and interest rate flexibility. According to the classical economist, it is not only full employment of resources, it is also the flexibility in wages and prices that bring the economy to full employment. A.C. Pigou remarks, with perfectly free competition, there will always be at work a strong tendency for wage rates to be so related to demand that everybody is employed. In fact, the interest rate will fall far enough from I2I1 in figure below to make the supply of funds equal to the demand for funds. The flexibility of interest rate as well as prices ensures full employment level. While the flexibility of interest keeps the money market in equilibrium, flexibility of wage keeps the labor market in equilibrium. If the supply of workers exceeds demand, then wages will fall, so as to ensure that workforce is fully employed. Classical economists believe that any unemployment that occurs is voluntary unemployment. Page 184. Voluntary unemployed workers are unemployed because they refuse to accept lower wages, and if they accept low wages, they would be employed. According to Say, if aggregate save exceeds the aggregate investment, then the real GDP will fall below its natural level because investment expenditures will be less than the level of aggregate saving. This is shown in the figure below. Classical theory of interest rate adjustment. Aggregate saving curve S represents, which is an upward sloping function of the interest rate. As interest rate rises, the economy tends to save more. Aggregate investment, represented by curve I, is a downward sloping function of the interest rate. As the interest rate rises, the cost of borrowing increases and the investment expenditures decline. Initially, aggregate saving and investment are equivalent as the rate interest I. If aggregate saving were to increase, causing the S curve to shift to the right to S1, then at the same rate I, a gap emerges between investment and savings. Aggregate investment will be lower than aggregate saving, implying that equilibrium real GDP will be below its natural level. If supposing saving exceeds investment, the fall in interest will bring back the economy to equilibrium level. There's a graphical illustration of the classical theory which is given below. Page 185. As shown in the figure, if the economy moves down along the S1, causing the equilibrium price level to fall from P1 to P2, and the equilibrium real GDP to fall below its natural level of Y1 to Y2, the real GDP falls to below its natural level. Then, the workers and resources are not being fully employed. When there are unemployed resources, the classical theory predicts that the wages paid to these resources will fall. With the fall in wages, suppliers will be able to supply more goods at lower cost, causing the SAS curve to shift to the right from SAS1 to SAS2. The result is that the equilibrium price level falls to P3. But the economy returns to the natural level of real GDP, that is the level of full employment. Thus, classical economic theory believes that with the non-intervention of the government, the self-regulating economy is the most efficient and effective. Remedies to unemployment and criticisms of classical theory. Thus, to sum up, classicists give the following remedy to unemployment. 1. Wage cut policy. 2. Changes in rate of interest. And 3. Changes in prices. However, classical theory is criticized for its unrealistic assumptions and postulates. Keynes in his general theory has severely criticized the classical theory on the following grounds. 1. Unrealistic assumption of the existence of full employment. 2. Operation of self-adjusting mechanisms, the existence of invisible hand questioned. 3. Keynes refuted the Say's law of market and instead argued that it is the demand that creates supply. 4. Overemphasis on supply by completely ignoring the role of demand in determining the level of employment and output. 5. Pigovian wage cut policy not feasible as workers may resist and also may create real cut in employment. 6. Intervention of the government is necessary to avoid depression. 7. Money cannot remain neutral, instead has got impact on economic activities. 8. To Keynes, savings and investment equality is brought about by income rather than rate of interest. 9. Keynes criticizes the long-run assumptions by saying that in the long run, we all are dead. 10. The assumptions of the homogeneity of labor is unrealistic. Plus, the classical theory of employment was criticized severely, and also the occurrence of the Great Depression in 1930s further exposed the limitations of this theory and its application in solving the problem of unemployment. Page 186. 6.6. The Keynesian theory of employment. The Great Depression of 1930s had disastrous impact on capitalist economics of US and Britain and spilled over effect on the economics that had close economic relations with them. All the macroeconomic fundamentals like employment, output and income were nosediving, and the prescriptions of the classes failed to arrest this worst economic disaster. At this critical juncture came an epoch-making work of an English economist, John Maynard Keynes, The General Theory of Employment, Income and Money, 1936. In this great work, Keynes exposed the limitations of classical theory and its applications and propagated his own theory of employment, which came to be known as Keynesian theory of employment or modern theory of employment. Keynes, in his general theory, introduced the new tools, concepts, effective demand, consumption function, investment function, marginal efficiency of capital, investment multiplier, deficit financing, etc. These new concepts revolutionized the economic thinking and application. His contribution is termed as modern economics and his thinking as Keynesian revolution. Keynes' theory focuses on the relationship between aggregate income and expenditure of the determination of equilibrium level of employment and prices. Keynes, in his income expenditure model, argues that the economy's equilibrium level of output may not correspond to the natural level of real GDP or full employment level. According to Keynes, if the current level of aggregate expenditure or demand is not sufficient to purchase the natural level of real GDP, then the equilibrium level of the real GDP will lie somewhere below the natural level. In this situation, the classes believe that prices and wages will fall, reducing the cost and increase the supply of real GDP until it is again equal to the natural level of the real GDP. Keynes, however, believes that prices and wages are not so flexible but sticky. This prevents the economy's resources from being fully employed and thereby prevents the economy from returning to the full employment level. Thus, the Keynesian theory is a rejection of Say's law and the notion that the economy is self-regulating and fully employed. Thus, according to Keynes, the economy will be in underemployment equilibrium. Page 187. Keynesian employment theory in a nutshell. Level of employment, income and output, which is briefly discussed below. Effective demand, under which we have aggregate supply function ASF and aggregate demand function ADF. Under aggregate demand function, we have consumption function C, investment function I, and governmental expenditure G. Under consumption function C, we have size of income and propensity to consume. Under investment function I, we have marginal efficiency of capital MEC and rate of interest ROI. And under marginal efficiency of capital, we have supply prices, supply price of capital assets and expected yield oblique returns. And under rate of interest ROI, we have demand for money and supply of money. And under demand for money, we have transaction motive and we have the precautionary motive and speculative motive. Keynes negates the predominance of supply as a determining factor and argues that it is the level of demand that determines the level of income, employment and output in the economy. The bird's eye view of the Keynesian thinking is presented in a flow chart below. Page 188. Assumptions of Keynesian theory. Some of the key assumptions of Keynesian theory are 1. Existence of perfect competition. 2. Operation of diminishing returns to scale. 3. Keynes assumes that economic problems are related to short run. 4. Assumption of the closed economy. And 5. Assumes the necessity of governmental intervention. 6.7. Principle of effective demand. The cornerstone of the Keynesian theory is the principle of effective demand. According to Keynes, the level of employment, income and output in the economy depends on the level of effective demand. Higher the effective demand, higher will be the level of income, employment, output and vice versa. Deficiency in effective demand leads to unemployment. As such, Keynesian theory is also known as demand deficiency theory of employment. Effective demand refers to the total money spent on consumption and investment in the economy. Effective demand is equal to consumption expenditure and investment expenditure. Determination of effective demand. According to Keynes, the tool of effective demand is determined by two important components, aggregate demand function ADF and aggregate supply function ASF. Aggregate demand function. ADF represents the schedule of various levels of money income the entrepreneurs expect from the sale proceeds, that is the expected receipts. According to Keynes, it is the increasing function of the level of employment in the economy, D is equal to F in brackets N, where D is the expected receipts and N is the level of employment. Thus, aggregate demand represents the income the entrepreneurs obtain. Aggregate supply function. ASF is a schedule of various amounts of money which the entrepreneur must receive from the sale of input at varying levels of employment. ASF represents the cost incurred by the entrepreneur and the sale proceeds must cover its amount to continue its production. ASF is also the increasing function of the level of employment. ASF represents the cost incurred by the entrepreneurs. Page 189. The effective demand is determined at the point of intersection of ADF and ASF where the receipts are equal to the cost incurred. So long as the profits are higher than the cost being incurred, the entrepreneur increases the level of employment and output. When ADF is equal to ASF, he will be earning normal profits. Once ASF is greater than ADF, that is, costs are more than the revenue, he stops employing more labor. This is shown in the figure above. 6.8 Keynesian extended model. Keynes equilibrium level of income expenditure. Keynesian theory of underemployment equilibrium. The Keynesian theory of the determination of equilibrium employment, output and prices makes use of both the income expenditure model and the aggregate demand aggregate supply function as shown in the figure. Graphical illustration of Keynesian theory. As shown in the figure, the economy is initially at the natural level of real GDP that corresponds to Y1 in figure. Associated with this level of real GDP is an aggregate expenditure curve, AE1. Suppose if the expenditure declines from A1 to A3, causing the AE curve to shift downward from AE1 to AE3. There is a reduction in aggregate demand from AD 1 to AD 2 at the same price level P1. Equilibrium real GDP has falls from Y1 to Y3. However, the intersection of the SAS and AD 2 curves is at the lower price level P2, implying that the price level falls. Page 190. However, with a fall in price level, the aggregate expenditure curve will not fall to AE3, but will instead fall only to AE2. Therefore, the new level of equilibrium real GDP is at Y2, which lies below the natural level Y1. Thus, Keynes argues that there exists underemployment equilibrium instead of full employment, as argued by classists. Keynes argues that price will not fall further below P2 because workers and other resources will resist any reduction in their wages, and this resistance will prevent suppliers from increasing their supplies. Hence, the SAS curve will not shift to the right as in the classical theory, and the economy will remain at Y2, where some of the economy workers and resources are unemployed. Because these unemployed workers and resources earn no income, they cannot purchase goods and services. Consequently, the aggregate expenditure curve remains stuck at AE2, preventing the economy from achieving the natural level of real GDP. Figure thus illustrates the Keynesian's rejection of Say's law's price level flexibility and the notion of a self-regulating economy. Keynes, in his extended model, brings in the component of governmental expenditure G to increase the level of autonomous investment, as induced investments are low when the economy is experiencing the downslide. Page 191. Thus, Keynes advocates the thought that government intervention is essential for an economy to succeed. Keynesian economics believes that economic activity is influenced by decisions made by both the private and public sector. Keynesian economics places government spending to be the most important in stimulating economic activity, so much so that even if there is no private spending on goods and services or business investments, government spending should be able to stimulate economic growth. 6.9. Differences between classical and Keynesian theories. 1. Classical version, existence of full employment equilibrium, and according to Keynesian version, it is underemployment equilibrium. 2. Classical version is supplies creates demand, whereas Keynesian version says demand creates supply. 3. Classical version says advocated laissez-faire policy. Keynesian version is advocated government intervention. 4. Classical version says savings and investment is determined by rate of interest, and according to Keynesian version, is determined by the level of income. 5. According to classical version, wage cut policy to solve unemployment, and Keynesian version says opposed wage cut policy. 6. Classical version importance to micro analysis, and according to Keynesian version, it is macro analysis. 7. Classical version says long run analysis, and Keynesian version short run analysis. 8. According to classical version, savings is virtue, and Keynesian version, spending is virtue. 9. Classical version says fail to explain cyclical phenomenon, and Keynesian version explain classical phenomenon. 10. Classical version says saving and investment equality is brought by rate of interest, but according to Keynesian version, it is brought about by income. 11. Classical version says it's a more theoretical model, but according to Keynesian version, it's a practical model. 12. Classical version advocates balanced budget, and according to Keynesian version, it advocates deficit budget. 13. Classical version is static equilibrium analysis, and Keynesian version is dynamic equilibrium analysis. 14. Classical version says fails to integrate theory of value and production with the theory of money, but according to Keynesian version, integrates all the theories. 15. Classical version is not a general theory, and according to Keynesian version, it's more a general theory. 16. Classical version is increase in money supply leads to inflation, and according to Keynesian version, increases employment level. Page 192. Thus, we may conclude that there are fundamental differences between classical and Keynesian economics. Critical analysis of Keynesian employment theory. 1. Theory is based on unrealistic assumptions of perfect competition and closed economy. 2. Theory neglects the supply side and overemphasizes demand side. 3. Theory completely ignores long run. 4. Theory helps only the advanced capitalist nations suffering from depression to overcome it and is not suited to developing economics. 5. It focuses only on the unemployment created by deficiency of demand and ignores other forms of unemployment. 6. Keynes ignores micro aspects completely. 7. Accelerator principle is ignored. 9. Keynes' contribution is not original. 6.10. Conclusion and practical importance of Keynesian economics. In spite of the several criticisms, Keynesian theory and concepts still plays an important role in solving practical economic problems. 1. Basis of state intervention. Keynes showed that full employment could only be achieved through state help. 2. Balanced diet, balanced budget, not sacrosanct. He advocated deficit budgeting to suit the economic situation in which a country may find itself. Thus, balanced budgeting is no longer regarded sacrosanct. 3. Emphasis on fiscal policy. Keynes put great emphasis on suitable fiscal policy as a tool for examining inflation and for boosting output and employment in the country. 4. Role and limitations of monetary policy. Monetary policy as an instrument of controlling cyclical fluctuations receives due attention from Keynes. He also pointed out that limitations of monetary policy. 5. Deficit financing for development. It was due to Keynes that deficit financing has come to play an important part in the economic development of underdeveloped economics. Page 193. 6. Refutation of wage cut policy. Keynes refuted the theoretical validity as well as practical feasibility of a general wage cut as a tool for supporting full employment. 7. Social accounting. We owe it to Keynes that the economists and governments today give a lot of attention to social accounting. In every country, statistics of national income are being collected. This enables a suitable economic policy to be evolved and adopted. Thus, Keynesian's contribution to economic theory and its usefulness in practical application has made economists to opine that his contributions are revolutionary and his economic thought is regarded as Keynesian's revolution. 6.11. Consumption function. Consumption function, or the psychological law of consumption or propensity to consume, is one of the important contributions of Keynes to the field of economics. Keynesian's theory is concerned with the sum total of consumption spending by all the individuals and not with the consumption of an individual consumer. Consumption function refers to the whole of the schedule showing consumption expenditure at various levels of income. It's a schedule that expresses relationship between consumption and disposable income and how consumption expenditure increases as income increases, but less than proportionately. The consumption function indicates a functional relationship between the aggregate's total consumption expenditure and the gross national income. According to Keynesian's theory, following are the factors that influence consumption. A. The real income of the individual. B. The past savings. And C. The rate of interest. Average propensity to consume, APC. Kurihara defines APC as the ratio of consumption expenditure to any particular level of income. Thus, average propensity to consume, APC, is the relationship between total consumption and total income in a given period of time. In other words, APC is the ratio of consumption to income. Thus, APC is equal to C by Y. Page 194, where APC, average propensity to consume, C is consumption, Y is the income. Marginal propensity to consume, MPC. The marginal propensity to consume, MPC, measures the incremental change in consumption as a result of a given increment in income. In other words, MPC is the ratio of change in consumption to the change in income. MPC is equal to C by Y, where MPC is the marginal propensity to income, C is incremental change in consumption, and Y is incremental change in income. Propensity to save. Marginal propensity to save, MPS, is the increment in savings caused by given increment in income. The MPS is always equal to 1 minus MPC. That is, MPS is equal to 1 minus MPC. Marginal propensity to save, MPS, is equal to S by Y. That is equal to 1 minus C by Y. Average propensity to save, APS, is equal to S by Y. That is total savings by total income. 6.12. Keynes' psychological law of consumption. Psychological law of consumption, or fundamental law of consumption, states that aggregate consumption is a function of aggregate disposable income. This law consists of three propositions. A. When aggregate income increases, consumption expenditure will also increase, but less than proportionately. Page 195. B. The increment of income will be divided between savings and consumptions. What is not consumed is saved. Savings is thus the complement of consumptions. C. As income increases, both consumption spending and saving increases. Assumptions. A. The propensity to consume remains the same or stable. B. The economic conditions remain normal. C. Keynes assumes the existence of free market economy. D. Marginal propensity to consume, MPC, will always be less than unity but greater than zero. MPC is greater than zero and less than one. This results in low consumption and high saving economy. Practical implications of the psychological law of consumption. According to Keynesian's theory, the MPC is less than unity, which brings out the following implications. A. Highlights the importance of investment. Since consumption largely depends on income and subjective factors and consumption function is more or less stable in the short run, it is therefore necessary to increase investment to fill the gap of increased income and declining consumption. B. Inevitability of governmental intervention. When the income increases and the consumption spending is not increased proportionately, there is a danger of overproduction. The government will have to step in to rectify the situation. C. Importance of MEC. The law highlights the importance of MEC in determining the level of investment in the economy as the consumption is not increased. The marginal efficiency of capital, MEC, will diminish. The demand for capital will also diminish and economic progress starts to diminish. D. Aptly explains the phases of business cycles. Keynes' law explains the phases of business cycles more aptly with the help of MPC. E. Danger of oversaving. Since the MPC is less than unity, this law explains the oversaving gap and danger of oversaving. Page 196. F. Negates Say's law of market. This law of consumption invalidates the Say's law of market, as supply cannot create demand due to the gap between increased income and consumption. G. Existence of underemployment equilibrium. Important contribution of this law is that it explains the reasons for the existence of underemployment equilibrium in the economy. Factors influencing consumption function. Factors influencing consumption function are broadly classified into two: objective factors and subjective factors. Objective factors. Objective factors are external factors that affect consumption function. They are A. Distribution of income. Distribution of income in the economy influences the consumption function. B. Changes in fiscal policy. Fiscal policy of the government will also influence the consumption behavior of an economy. A reduction in taxation will boost consumption, while increase in taxes will depress the consumption. C. Changes in business expectations. Changes in business expectations affect the incomes of certain classes of people. This in turn affects the consumption level and patterns. D. Windfall gains and losses. The windfall losses and gains also affect consumption function. Gains may shift the consumption upwards while the losses will push it down. E. Liquidity preferences. Another factor is the people's liquidity preferences. If people prefer to keep major portion of their income in liquid form, consumption is reduced correspondingly and vice versa. F. Changes in the rate of interest. High the rate of interest, people tends to save more than consume and vice versa. G. Level of money income. Important factor that affects the propensity to consume is the level of the community's money income. Higher the money income, high will be the consumption levels and vice versa. H. Changes in price level. Higher the prices, lower will be the levels of consumption, and lower the prices, higher will be the level of consumption. Page 197. I. Changes in the wage rates. If the wage rates increases in the economy, the consumption level will also increase, and if there is a fall, there will be decrease, other things remaining constant. J. Demonstration effect. Popularly known as Dusenberry hypothesis is the tendency of the consumers to emulate the consumption patterns of their rich neighbors. In this case, consumption will move upwards. K. Availability of consumer credit. With the ample availability of consumer credit at reasonable rates and the time, the consumption levels will be more and vice versa. Other than these factors, demographic factors, changes in expectations, advertising, etc. also influence the consumption levels in the economy. Subjective factors. These are internal factors to the consumer. A. Individual motives to save. 1. Keeping of reserves for unforeseen contingencies as illness or unemployment, etc. 2. To save for anticipated future needs such as daughter's wedding, son's education, etc. 3. To enjoy an enlarged future income by investing funds out of current income, etc. B. Business motives to save. 1. The desire to expand business. 2. The desire to face emergencies in business successfully. 3. The desire to have successful management. And 4. The desire to ensure sufficient financial provision against depreciation and obsolescence. These factors will reduce present consumption levels and increase the savings rate. Measures for increasing consumption levels. 1. Income redistribution in favor of poor, where propensity to consume is greater. 2. Comprehensive and effective social security measures like unemployment doles, old age pension, sickness insurance, etc. 3. Liberal pro-worker wage policy. And 4. Cheap and timely credit facilities for middle and poor classes for purchasing more consumer goods. Page 198. Significance of the psychological law of consumption. Some of the important implications of Keynes' psychological law of consumption are as below. 1. This law highlights the importance of investment. 2. This law shows possibility of overproduction. 3. It explains the turning points of the trade cycle. 4. This law explains savings-investment gap. 5. It throws light on the nature of income generation. 6.13. Investment function, propensity to invest. Investment or propensity to invest, according to Keynes, is one of the important determinants of effective demand that determines the level of income, employment, and output in the economy. Other determinant, that is, consumption being stable in the short run, it is the investment which plays a vital role in determining the macroeconomic parameters. To Keynes, investment implies real investment, that is, investment in purchasing equipment or machinery, building roads, and generating other productive activities, but not the purchase of existing shares and stocks. To him, it is only the real investment that leads to increased demand for human resources, leading to an increase in employment levels. Thus, according to Keynes, investment refers to the net addition made to the existing capital stock. Types of investment: gross investment and net investment. Entire investment expenditure over a period of time on new fixed capital goods or additions to stock of raw materials, etc., is termed as gross investment. Net investment is that which remains after deducting depreciation from gross investment. Autonomous investment and induced investment. Autonomous investment is income inelastic, that means it is independent of the level of income, sales or profit. Best example is the government investment on public utilities. While induced investment is income elastic, that it is induced by the level of income. This investment is induced, motivated by profit, and is made by the private sector. Public and private investment. Public investment refers to government investment. It is not motivated by profits. Instead, it is made in the interest of the general public. While private investment is made by private sector and motivated by profit, it is profit elastic. Page 199. Determinants of the level of investment. According to Keynes, level of investment is determined by two factors, and they are 1. Rate of interest, ROI, and 2. Marginal efficiency of capital, MEC. 1. Rate of interest, that is ROI. According to Keynes, though MEC plays a crucial role in determining the investment function, ROI also plays a significant role. To Keynes, interest is the reward to part with liquidity. According to him, ROI is determined by monetary factors like supply of money and demand for money. Supply of money remains constant in the short run and is fully under the control of the central bank of the nation. To Keynes, it is the demand for money which plays an important role in determining the rate of interest. Demand for money means demand for liquid cash. People demand money for three reasons. They are 1. Transaction motive, 2. Precautionary motive, and 3. Speculative motive. The first two motives are income elastic and interest inelastic, and they remain constant in the short run, while the third motive is interest elastic and plays an important role in determining ROI. To Keynes, there is an inverse relationship between ROI and demand for money. However, according to Keynes, in the short run, ROI remains more or less stable, and it is the MEC that plays dominant role in determining the level of investment in the economy. 6.14, marginal efficiency of capital, MEC. MEC in simple terms refers to the expected yield on investment. In other words, it is the highest percentage of profit expected from a given investment on a capital asset. Keynes defines the MEC as equal to the rate of discount, which would make the present value of the series of annuities given by the returns expected from the capital assets during its life just equal to its supply price. Page 200. Symbolically, this can be expressed as SPC equal to R1 divided by capital I minus small I to the power of 1 plus R2 divided by capital I minus small I to the power of 2 plus Rn divided by capital I minus small I to the power of n, where SP is the supply price or the cost of capital assets, R1 and R2 and Rn are the prospective yields or the series of expected annual returns from the capital asset in the years 1, 2 and n, and capital I is the rate of discount which makes the capital asset exactly equal to the present value of the expected yield from it. Factors influencing MEC. MEC is influenced by following factors. 1. Nature of demand. If the demand for goods and services are high, the profits will be more, hence MEC will be high and vice versa. 2. Cost and prices of production. If the cost of production is more and prices are low, MEC will be low, and on the other hand, if the cost of production is less and the prices are good, are more, MEC will be higher. 3. Demographic factors. If the rate of growth of population is more, MEC will be higher because of an increase in demand for goods and services and vice versa. 4. Propensity to consume. Upward trend in propensity to consume will push MEC upwards. If, on the other hand, if propensity to consume is low due to several factors, MEC will be lower. 5. Techniques of production. If the production techniques are new and advanced, MEC will be higher. If absolute technology is used, cost will be higher and MEC lower. 6. Future expectations. If business expectations are positive, MEC will also be positive. If, on the other hand, if business expectations are bleak and depressed, then MEC will also be lower. 7. Changes in income level. If the level of income increases, it stimulates investment. And if, on the other hand, if income is falling in the economy, it discourages investment as the level of MEC will be lower. 8. Foreign trade. If the level of international trade is higher, MEC will be more. And if, on the other hand, the volume value of international trade is less, then MEC will also be less. 9. Utilization of productive potential. If there is existing excess capacity in the industry, increase in demand will be met by its fuller utilization and will not have any impact. On the other hand, if capacity is already utilized, increased demand will have positive influence on MEC. Page 201. 10. Public expenditure. Increase in public expenditure leads more incomes, demand and investment in the economy, leading to increased MEC. 11. Other factors. With above factors, political stability, monitoring fiscal policies of the government, stable economy without natural calamities and man-created problems like war, conditions in labor market and other disturbances will also bear impact on MEC. Criticisms of MEC. Economists like Hazlitt has criticized the concept on several grounds, like 1. It's an incomplete analysis. 2. It completely ignores the rate of interest. 3. It's an abstract and vague concept. 4. It is an incomplete tool and measurement is difficult due to several factors. 6.15. Multiplier K. The concept of multiplier was first advocated by Richard F. Kahn in the year 1931. This was employment multiplier based on this concept, Keynes formulated investment multiplier or income multiplier. This is an important contribution of Keynes to economic analysis. Multiplier attempts to measure final change in income as a certain multiple of initial changes in investment. It explains cumulative effect of changes in investment on income via changes on the consumption expenditure. Thus, K is the ratio of the change in income to the change in investment. The value of multiplier depends on the value of MPC, hence multiplier is equal to the reciprocal of 1 minus MPC. Hence K is equal to Y by I, where the symbol delta refers to Y income and I investment. Suppose if an initial investment of rupees 100 increase the final income by rupees 500 crores, then K is equal to 500 by 100. It is equal to 5. That is, the value of multiplier is 5. Page 202. However, here we know the size, both investment and income. But to understand how much the initial level of investment will finally create the amount of income, we need to know the value of MPC. Keynes has given the following formula to calculate the multiplier. K is equal to 1 by 1 minus MPC or 1 by MPS, as MPC plus MPS is equal to 1. Suppose we know the value of MPC, we can easily know the value of K. For example, if MPC is 0.5 or half, then K is equal to 1 divided by 1 minus half, that is equal to 2. Working of multiplier. Working of multiplier can be explained with a simple example. Let us assume MPC is equal to half and investment is increased by rupees 100 crores. This will result a rise in production and income by rupees 100 crores. Half of this will be spent on consumption as MPC assumed to be half and the remaining is saved MPS. This is shown in the table below. Multiplier sequence, rupees is in crores. Here we have a table which explains the same. If the period of K is 0, delta Y is nil, delta C is equal to C delta Y, that is nil, delta S in brackets delta Y minus delta C, that is also nil. If period of K is 1, delta I is 100, delta Y is 100, delta C is equal to C delta Y, that is 50, and delta S in brackets delta Y minus delta C, that is also equal to 50. If period of K is 2, delta I is 100, delta Y is 50, delta C is equal to C delta Y, that is 25, and delta S, that is delta Y minus delta C, that is 25. If period of K is 3, delta I is 100, delta Y is 25, delta C is equal to C delta Y, that is 12.5, and delta S in brackets delta Y minus delta C is also equal to 12.5. If the period of K is 4, then the delta I is 100, delta Y is 12.5, delta C is equal to delta C delta Y 12.5, and delta S is also equal to 12.5. If period of K is 5, delta I is 100, delta Y is 6.25, delta C is 3.13, delta S is 3.13. Period of K is 6, then delta I is 100, delta Y is 3.13, and delta C and delta S both are 1.57 and 1.57. In period of K, if delta is 7, delta I is 100, delta Y is 1.57, and delta C and delta S both are 0.78 and 0.78. If period of K is 8, delta I is 100, delta Y is 0.78, and delta C and delta S both are 0.39 and 0.39. If period of K is 9, delta I is 100, delta Y is 0.39, delta C and delta S is 0.20 and 0.20. If period of K is 10, delta I is 100, delta Y is 0.20, delta C and delta S both are 0.10 and 0.10. If period of K is 11, delta I is 100, delta Y is 0.10, delta C is equal to 0.10, and delta S is also 0.10. If period of K is 11, delta I is 100, delta Y is 0.10, delta C is 0.05, and delta S is also 0.05. If period of K is 12, delta I is 100, delta Y is 0.05, delta C is 0.025, and delta S is also 0.025. If period of K is 13, delta I is 100, delta Y is 0.025, then delta C and delta S becomes 0.0125 and 0.0125. Total finally, delta I is 100, delta Y is 200, delta C and delta S both are 100 each. Page 203. Here we have a figure in which curve C shows MPC equal to half. That is, C curve has a slope of 0.05 is equal to C plus I, is investment curve which intersects OS at point E, which is 45 degrees line. Thus, OY is old equilibrium level. When investment increases further and C plus I shifts to C plus I plus delta I, which intersects OS line at E and OY, is new income and E is the new equilibrium point. Therefore, rise in income YY is represented by delta Y, which is twice the distance between C plus I and C plus I plus delta I, since MPC is equal to half. Assumptions of multiplier. Keynesian's theory of multiplier is based on following assumptions. 1. There will be change only in autonomous investment. 2. Consumption level is a function of current income. 3. Marginal propensity to consume remains constant. 4. Time lag is multiplier process is absent. 5. Net increase in investment is considered. 6. Consumer goods are available in response to change in effective demand due to change in income and investment. 7. It is assumed that there exists a surplus capacity in consumer goods industry to meet the increased demand. 8. New level of investment is maintained until the completion of multiplier process. 9. Other required resources of production are readily available in the economy. 10. Closed economy unaffected by the foreign influences exists. 11. accelerator effect of consumption on investment is ignored. 12. The economy is in less than full employment level. 13. Multiplier operates only in an industrialized economy. 14. Prices remain constant throughout the process of multiplier. Page 204. Leakages of multiplier. Leakages of multiplier refer to the potential diversion from income stream. As income increases, consumption also increases, but less than proportionately. That part of increased income which is saved is the leakage. Following are the important leakages of multiplier. 1. Saving the most important leakage of multiplier process. 2. Strong liquidity preference is also a leakage of K. 3. Another leakage of multiplier is the purchase of old stocks and securities. 4. Repayment of existing debts such as leakage to multiplier. 5. Inflation. Price inflation is an important leakage to multiplier process. 6. New imports. Imported goods act as a leakage in domestic income stream. 7. Taxation. Increased taxes decreases income levels and lowers the size of multiplier. 8. Undistributed profits of joint stock companies acts as leakage to multiplier. 9. Excess stock of consumption goods is another leakage as new investment is discouraged. 10. Public investment programs. Criticisms of multiplier. Concept of multiplier severely criticized by post-Keynesian economists on following grounds. 1. Professor Habler criticizes this concept as a tautological one, a just truism and run unrealistic. 2. Concept of multiplier is a timeless analysis and ignores time lag between income and expenditure. 3. Hazlitt regards this concept as worthless theoretical toy. 4. Multiplier completely ignores acceleration effect. 5. As Jordan points out, MPC does not remain constant always. 6. Relation between income and consumption is not as linear as pointed out by Keynes. There are several other factors that determine consumption according to Gardner-Ackley. Also, other economists like Professor Hart, Stigler, and Hutt criticizes this concept as useless fifth wheel and rubbish apparatus. Despite several criticisms, the concept of multiplier has considerable practical significance. Page 205. Importance of multiplier. Concept of multiplier is one of the important contributions of Keynes to economic theory and practice. The importance of multiplier is discussed below. 1. Importance of investment. K highlights the importance of investment in employment theory. 2. Promotes the importance of investment equality. Multiplier also helps in establishing equality between investment and savings in the economy. 3. Explains phases of trade cycles. Multiplier throws light on the nature and occurrence of different phases of trade cycles. 4. Helps in the formulation of economic policies. Concept of multiplier is a handy tool for economists to formulate appropriate economic policies. Thus, the concept of multiplier occupies an important place in economic theory and practice. 6.16. The principle of acceleration. Accelerator is another important tool of practical application in economic analysis. T. N. Carver, 1903, was the earliest economist to recognize relationship between changes in consumption and net investment. But it was Aftilian in 1909 who analyzed this concept in detail. However, the term acceleration principle was first introduced by J. M. Clark in 1917. Later, the concept was further developed and used by economists like Hicks, Samuelson, Harrod, and others. Accelerator measures the effect of a change in consumption on investment. It explains the ratio of net change in consumption to the net change in the investment. According to Kurihara, the accelerator coefficient is the ratio between induced investment and an initial change in consumption expenditure. Page 206. Here we have a diagrammatic representation of the accelerator. Symbolically, beta is equal to minus delta I by delta C, where beta is accelerator coefficient, delta I is the net change in investment, and delta C is the net change in consumption. Suppose change in consumption is 100 crores and the net change in investment is 50 crores, then accelerator coefficient is 5. In the above figure, both multiplane accelerator effect is depicted on OX axis, income is measured, and on OY savings and investment is measured. S, S and I are savings and investments curves respectively. At point E, economies in equilibrium when SS and II curves intersect each other, savings and investment are equal. Then an increase in investment due to multiplier process increases investment from I1 to I2. This increase in investment increases income from OY to OY1. The increase in income from Y to Y1 is a consequence of multiplier effect. Due to increase in investment, income increases to OY2. This is due to accelerator effect, which is due to induced investment made by private investors. I2, I2, I3. Savings and investment. Assumptions of acceleration. 1. It is assumed that resources are easily available. 2. It is assumed that there is an idle or excess capacity in plants. Page 207. 3. The principle assumes the existence of constant capital output ratio. 4. It assumes that a rise in output consequently leads to rise in net investment. 5. It assumes that increased demand is permanent. 6. Assumption of elastic supply of credit and capital is made. Criticisms of acceleration principle. The principle of acceleration is severely criticized for its unrealistic assumptions. 1. Capital output ratio cannot remain constant in this dynamic world. 2. Availability of resources are not elastic. It is possible only when there is unemployment in the economy. 3. This principle will not work if there is idle capacity in industry. 4. Principle ignores the time lag between increase in consumption and investment. 5. Supply of credit and capital may not be elastic as assumed in real market. 6. It completely ignores profits as a source of internal funds for investment. 7. This principle completely ignores the role of expectations in investment decision making, like changes in stock market, governmental policies, economic climate, international events, etc. 8. According to Knox, acceleration fails to explain lower turning point of trade cycle. 9. It completely ignores the role of technological factors in investment decisions. 10. According to Professor Safiro, acceleration principle is not adequate by itself, and as such, additional factors are needed in combination with the multiplier to explain the fluctuations in investment spending. In spite of several limitations, this principle is capable of explaining fluctuations in income and employment levels as a result of fluctuations in capital goods industries. Part B. Demand for money. One of the important questions that macroeconomists tries to analyze is why people demand money. Money is demanded for two important reasons. It acts as medium of exchange and store of value. The level of demand for money not only determines rate of interest, but also prices and national income. As such, the understanding of demand for money is very important. Page 208. 6.18. Motives for holding cash. According to Keynes, money is demanded because of three motives: transaction, precautionary, and speculative. Keynes has termed the demand for money as liquidity preference. 1. The transaction motive. People like to keep their money in liquid form, cash, to meet their day-to-day expenses during the period between the receipt and the spending of money. This motive for liquidity has been called by Keynes as transaction motive. This motive is interest in inelastic and income elastic. 2. The precautionary motive. Apart from cash for day-to-day expense, people may need cash to meet exigencies like unemployment, sickness, disablement, etc. The amount kept for this motive depends on the income level of the individual. Liquidity preference on this account is also interest inelastic. 3. The speculative motive. The third and the last motive for liquidity preference is a desire to earn profits. people who think that the rate of interest in future will be higher, and in order to take advantage of this future increase in the rate of interest, they may like to keep money in the liquid form to invest in securities when the rates of interest actually rise and vice versa. Keynes has called this a speculative motive. Keynes has attached the maximum importance to liquidity preference for speculative purpose. 6.19 Value of money. Value of money refers to the purchasing power of money or a unit of currency. It is not possible to determine the value of money directly. It is measured through the prices of goods and services it will buy in the market. As such, the purchasing power of money depends on level of prices. Higher the prices, lower will be the value of money, and vice versa. In the words of Robertson, by the value of money we mean the amount of thing in general which will be given in exchange for a value of money. Page 209. 6.20 Quantity Theory of Money, QTM. The concept of the Quantity Theory of Money, QTM, began in the 16th century. Economist Henry Thornton, in 1802, opined that money equals more inflation and that an increase in money supply does not necessarily mean an increase in economic output. The Quantity Theory of Money states that there is a direct relationship between the quantity of money in an economy and the level of prices of goods and services sold. According to QTM, other things remaining constant, if the amount of money in an economy doubles, price levels also double and the value of money becomes one half and vice versa. To determine the value of money, several theories have been propounded. Quantity theory of money is one of the important propositions. QTM has got two important approaches. 1. Fisher's equation, that is, cash transaction approach, and 2. Cambridge equation, that is, cash balance approach. 6.21. The Fisher's equation, cash transaction approach. Professor Irving Fisher, an American economist, formulated his approach to QTM in his work, Purchasing Power of Money, 1911. In his words, other things remain unchanged. As the quantity of money in circulation increases, the price level also increases in direct proportion and the value of money decreases and vice versa. Fisher explained his theory in terms of his equation of exchange. MV is equal to PT, or P is equal to MV by T, value of money T by MV, where P is the general price level. M is the quantity of money in circulation, includes coins and paperwork, paper money, but excludes bank reserves and money held by treasury. V is the velocity of circulation of money, that is, average number of times that the unit of money changes hands during a particular period. T is the total volume of transactions, that is, the total amount of goods and services exchanged for money. Page 210. Illustration. If M is equal to 20 crores, V is equal to 6, T is equal to 12 crores, then P is equal to 20 into 6 by 12, that is equal to 120 by 12, which is equal to rupees 10. Value of money, 12 by 120 is equal to 1 by 10. The above equation is a primary equation. However, in modern world, bank credit money plays a crucial role. Hence, Fisher has extended his equation by including bank money, which is given below. PT is equal to MV plus M apostrophe V apostrophe, where P is equal to price level, or 1 by P is equal to value of money. M is equal to the total quantity of legal tender money. V is equal to the velocity of circulation of M. M apostrophe is equal to the total quantity of credit money. V apostrophe is equal to the velocity of circulation of M. T is equal to the total amount of goods and services exchanged for money, or transactions performed by money. This equation equates the demand for money, PT, to supply of money, MV plus M apostrophe V in brackets. The total volume of transactions multiplied by the price level PT represents the demand for money. In order to find out the effect of quantity of money on the price level or the value of money, we write the equation as P is equal to MV plus M apostrophe V apostrophe by T. The truth of this proposition is evident from the fact if M and M apostrophe are double, while V and T remains constant, is also doubled, but the value of money, I divided by P, is reduced to half. Assumptions of the theory. Fisher's theory is based on the following assumptions. 1. P is passive factor in the equation of exchange, which is affected by the other factors. 2. The proportion of M of positive V to M remains constant. Page 211. 3. V and V are assumed to be constant and are independent of changes in M apostrophe. 4. T also remains constant and is independent of other factors such as M, V and V. 5. It is assumed that the demand for money is proportional to the value of transactions. 6. The supply of money is assumed as an exogenously determined constant. 7. The theory is applicable in the long run. 8. It is based on the assumptions of the existence of full employment in the economy. Criticisms of the theory. The Fisher's equation is criticized on several grounds. 1. Truism. To Keynes, the quantity theory of money is a truism. Fisher's equation is a simple truism because it states that the total quantity of money, in brackets MV plus M apostrophe V apostrophe, paid for goods and services must equal the value PT. 2. Other things not equal. The direct and proportionate relation between quantity of money and price level in Fisher's equation is based on the assumption that other things remain unchanged, but in real life, VV and T are not constant. Moreover, they are not independent of M and M apostrophe and P. Rather, all elements in Fisher's equation are interrelated and interdependent. Page 212. 3. Constants relate to different time. Professor Harm criticizes Fisher for multiplying M and V because M relates to a point of time and V to a period of time. The former is a static concept and the latter a dynamic. It is therefore technically inconsistent to multiply two non-comparable factors. 4. Fails to measure value of money. Fisher's equation does not measure the purchasing power of money but only cash transactions, that is, the volume of business transactions of all kinds. 5. Weak theory. According to Crother, the Fisher's equation is weak in many respects. First, it fails to explain why there are fluctuations in the price level in the short run. Second, it gives undue importance to the price level. Third, it places unwanted emphasis on the quantity of money as the primary causes of changes in the price level during the trade cycle. 6. Neglects interest rate. One of the main weaknesses of Fisher's quantity theory of money is that it neglects the role of rate of interest as one of the causative factors between money and prices. 7. Unrealistic assumptions. Keynes criticized the Fisherian quantity theory of money for its unrealistic assumptions of long run, full employment and relation between the quantity of money and the price level is direct and proportional. 8. V not constant. Further, Keynes pointed out that when there is underemployment equilibrium, the velocity of circulation of money V is highly unstable and would change with changes in the stock of money or money income. Thus, this was unrealistic for Fisher to assume V to be constant and independent of M. Page 213. 9. Neglect store of value function. Another weakness of the quantity theory of money is that it concentrates on the supply of money and assumes the demand for money to be constant. In other words, it neglects the store of value function of money. 10. Neglects real balance effect. Don Pentinkin has criticized Fisher for failure to make use of the real balance effect, that is, the real value of cash balances. 11. Static. Fisher's theory is static in nature because of its unrealistic assumptions as long run, full employment, etc. It is therefore not applicable to a modern dynamic economy. In spite of the criticisms, Fisher's equation cannot be ignored as a worthless tool. 6.22 Cambridge equation, cash balance approach to the quantity theory of money. The cash balance approach to the quantity theory of money was developed by a group of Cambridge economists in England, which included Alfred Marshall, A.C. Pigou, Robert Stern, and J.M. Keynes. Cambridge approach to the quantity theory differs significantly from the Fisher's approach. Fisher's approach was based on the medium of exchange function of money. The Cambridge version of the quantity theory of money is based on the store of value function of money. According to the cash balance approach, the value of money is determined like the value of commodity on the basis of its demand and supply. This approach considers the demand for and supply of money at a particular moment of time rather than over a period of time as considered by the transaction approach. As the supply of money at a particular time is fixed, so it is the demand for money which determines the value of money. In the Cambridge equation, the demand for money implies the demand for cash balances. The money in liquid form is needed to pay for the goods and also to meet unforeseen and unexpected expenditure. The demand for money is that portion of real income which people want to hold in cash or in the form of money for transaction and precautionary motives. Since the supply of money at a particular time is fixed, therefore the changes in the price level depends upon the changes in demand for holding money or cash balances. When the demand for money rises, people will curtail the expenditure on goods and services. This will bring down the price level and raise the value of money. Page 214. Similarly, a lesser demand for cash balances means higher demand for goods and services, which causes increase in the price level and a fall in the value of money. Cambridge equations. The Cambridge economist has explained the cash balance approach to the quantity theory of money by formulating equations which are known as Cambridge equations. 1. Alfred Marshall equations. The Marshall's cash balance version to the quantity theory of money improved by Milton's Friedman is put forward in the form of equation as under. M is equal to KPY. M is equal to stands for quantity of money, that is currency plus demand deposits. P stands for price level. Y indicates aggregate real income. K denotes the fraction of real income which people desire to hold in money form. Thus, the price level P is equal to M by KYY. Value of money is equal to KY by M. Pigou's equation. Marshall's cash balance approach was modified by Pigou and it is expressed as follows. P is equal to KR by M, where P is the purchasing power of money or the value of money. K is the proportion of total real resources or income R held by the people in the liquid form, that is legal tender. R is the total resources or real income. M is the actual units of legal tender money. According to Pigou, P, the purchasing power of money, varies directly with K or R and inversely with M. This implies that the price level varies inversely with K or R and directly with M. Thus, K is more significant than M in determining purchasing power. Page 215. Robertson's equation. Robertson's equation is similar to Pigou's equation. M is equal to PKT or P is equal to M divided by KT. P is the price level, M is the total quantity of money, K is the proportion of the total amounts of goods and services in brackets T which people wish to hold in form of cash balance, and T is the total volume of goods and services purchased during a year by the community. 2. Keynes' equation. J.M. Keynes, in his work, A. Tract on Monetary Reform, has given equation to the theory mainly with reference to consumer goods. His equation to the quantity theory of money is N is equal to PK or P is equal to N by K, where P denotes the price level of consumption goods, N stands for total supply of money in circulation, and K is equal to the total quantity of consumption units which people want to hold in cash. In the above equation, if K is constant, a proportionate increase in N, that is quantity of money, will lead to a proportional increase in price level, that is P. J. M. Keynes has explained that so long as K remains unchanged, the price level will change directly in proportion to change in N. Criticisms of cash balance approach to the quantity theory of money. The Cambridge equation has been criticized on the following grounds. 1. Truisms. Cash balance equations are truisms. Take any Cambridge equation, Marshall's P is equal to M divided by KY, or Pigou's P is equal to KR divided by M, or Robertson's P is equal to M divided by KT, or Keynes' P is equal to N divided by K. It establishes a proportional relationship between quantity of money and price level. 2. Price level does not measure the purchasing power. This approach assumes that cash deposits are used only for expenditure on current consumptions, but in fact, they are held for a vast multiplicity of business and personal purposes. By ignoring these aspects, the Cambridge economists have committed a serious mistake. Page 216. 3. Neglects other factors. Further, the cash balances does not tell about changes in the price level due to changes in the proportions in which deposits are held for income, business, and saving purposes. 4. Neglects saving investment effect. Approach fails to analyze variations in the price level due to saving investment inequality in the economy. 5. K and Y not constant. The Cambridge equation, like the transactions equation, assumes K and Y or R or T as constant. This is unrealistic. 6. Fails to explain dynamic behavior of prices. The theory argues that changes in the total quantity of money influences the general price level equiproportionately, but fails to explain the dynamic behavior of prices. 7. Neglects interest rate. The cash balances approach ignores influences of rate of interest, while rate of interest has a decisive and significant influence upon the price level and hence fails to integrate monetary theory with the theory of value and output. 8. Neglect of goods market. According to Penkin, this approach concentrates only on the money market and completely neglects the commodity markets. 11. Elasticity of demand for money, not unity. The cash balances theory establishes that the elasticity of demand for money is unity, which implies that the increase in the demand for money leads to a proportionate decrease in the price level. This is because of the failure of Cambridge economists to recognize the full implications of the real balance effect. Patinkin argues that a change in the price level will cause a change in the real balance effect. 12. Neglects speculative demand for money. Another serious weakness of cash balances approach is its failure to consider the speculative demand for money. Superiority of the cash balance approach. The cash balance approach to the quantity theory of money is superior to the transaction approach on the following grounds. 1. The transaction approach emphasizes only the medium of exchange function of money, while the cash balance approach stresses equally the store of value function of money. Therefore, this approach is consistent with the broader definition of money, which includes demand deposits. 2. Transaction approach emphasizes the mechanical aspects of the payment process. In contrast, the cash balance approach is more realistic as it is behavioral in nature. Page 217. 3. Cash balance approach fits in easily with the general demand supply analysis as applied in the money market. This is not available in the transaction approach. 4. The cash balance approach is wider and more comprehensive as it takes into account the income level as an important determinant of the price level. The transaction approach fails on this account. 5. According to the transaction approach, the change in P is caused by change in M only. In the cash balance approach, P may change even without a change in M if K undergoes a change. Thus, K, according to the cash balance approach, is a more important determinant of P than M, as stressed by the transaction approach. 6. Moreover, the symbol K in the cash balance approach proves to be a better tool for explaining trade cycles than V in Fisher's equation. 6.23. Inflation. Inflation is basically a global monetary phenomenon. The term inflation refers to a continuous rise in prices as measured by the Consumer Price Index. Inflation has been defined by various authors, but rise in price has been the common focal point in the observations. Hotre defines inflation as the issue of too much currency. Crowther defines inflation as the state in which the value of money is falling, that is, prices are rising. Types of inflation. On the basis of coverage and scope, 1. Compressive inflation refers to the rise in the prices of all commodities throughout the economy. It is known as economy-wide inflation. 2. Sporadic inflation. When the prices of only few commodities in few regions rise, it is known as sporadic inflation. Second, on basis of occurrence of time. 1. Wartime inflation. The price rise that occurs during a period of warlike situation is known as wartime inflation. During a war, scarce productive resources are all diverted and prioritized to produce military goods and equipments. Production and supply of basic goods slow down and can no longer meet the soaring demand from people. Page 218. Consequently, prices of essential goods keep on rising in the market, resulting in wartime inflation. 2. Post-war inflation. Inflation that takes place soon after war is known as post-war inflation. After the war, government controls are relaxed, resulting in a faster hike in prices than what experienced during the war. 3. Peacetime inflation. When prices rise during a normal period of peace, it is known as peacetime inflation. It is due to huge government expenditure or spending on capital projects of a long gestation period. 3. On the basis of government reaction. 1. Open inflation. When government does not attempt to restrict inflation, it is known as open inflation. In a free market economy, where prices are left to take its own course, open inflation occurs. 2. Suppressed inflation. When government prevents rise through price controls, rationing, etc., it is known as suppressed inflation. 4. On the basis of rising prices. 1. Creeping inflation. When prices are gently rising, it is referred as creeping inflation. It is the mildest form of inflation and also known as a mild inflation or low inflation. 2. Chronic inflation. If creeping inflation persists for a longer period of time, then it is called as chronic or secular inflation. 4. Walking inflation. When the rate of rising price is more than the creeping inflation, it is known as walking inflation. 4. Moderate inflation. Professor Samuelson clubbed together the concept of creeping and walking inflation into moderate inflation. 5. Running inflation. A rapid acceleration in the rate of rising prices is referred as running inflation. 6. Galloping inflation. According to Professor Samuelson, if prices rise by double or triple digit inflation rate like 30% or 40% or 99% per annum, then the situation can be termed as galloping inflation. 7. Hyperinflation. Hyperinflation refers to a situation where the price rises at an alarming high rate. The price rises so fast that it becomes very difficult to measure its magnitude. Page 219. 4. On the basis of different causes. 1. Deficit inflation. Deficit inflation takes place due to deficit financing. 2. Credit inflation. Credit inflation takes place due to excessive bank credit or money supply in the economy. 3. Scarcity inflation. Scarcity inflation occurs due to hoarding. Hoarding is an excess accumulation of basic commodities by unscrupulous traders and black marketers. 4. Profit inflation. When entrepreneurs are interested in boosting their profit margins, prices rise. 5. Pricing power inflation. It is often referred as administered price inflation. It occurs when industries and business houses increase the prices of the goods and services with an objective to boost their profit margins. 6. Tax inflation. Due to rise in indirect tax, sellers charge high price to the consumers. 7. Wage inflation. If the rise in wages is not accompanied by a rise in output, prices rise. 8. Built-in inflation. Vicious cycle of built-in inflation is induced by adaptive expectations of workers and employers who try to keep their wages or salaries high in anticipation of inflation. 9. Development inflation. During the process of development of economy, income rises, causing an increase in demand and rise in prices. 10. Fiscal inflation. It occurs due to excess government expenditure or spending when there is a budget deficit. 11. Population inflation. Prices rise due to rapid increase in population. 12. Foreign trade induced inflation. It is divided into two categories, viz. A. Export, that is boom inflation, and B. Import price, high hike inflation. 13. Export boom inflation. Considerable increase in exports may cause a shortage at income within exporting country and results in price rise within exporting country. This is known as export boom inflation. 14. Import price hike inflation. If a country imports goods from a foreign country and the prices for the imported goods increase due to inflation abroad, then the price of domestic products used imported goods also rises. This is known as import price hike inflation. Page 220. 15. Sectoral inflation. It occurs when there is a rise in price of goods and services produced by certain sector of the industries. For instance, if price of crude oil increases, it will also affect all other sectors which are directly related to the oil industry. 16. Demand pull inflation. Inflation which arises due to various factors like rising income, exploding population, etc., leads to aggregate demand and exceeds aggregate supply and tends to raise price of goods and services. This is known as demand pull or excess demand inflation. 17. Cost push inflation. When prices rise due to growing cost of production in goods and services, it is known as cost push or supply side inflation. 7th. On the basis of expectations. 1. Anticipated or expected inflation. If the rate of inflation corresponds to what the majority of people expecting or predicting, then is called anticipated inflation. It is also referred as expected inflation. 2. Unanticipated or unexpected inflation. If the rate of inflation corresponds to what the majority of people not expecting or predicting, then it is called unanticipated inflation. It is also referred as unexpected inflation. Effects of inflation. The following are the specific effects of inflation. 1. Effects on economic activity. Under that we have 1. It hinders the capital formation. 2. Inflation creates uncertainty as well as confusion in an economic system. 3. It causes distortions and disruptions in price mechanisms. 4. It will have adverse effects on pattern of investment through maximum investment or speculative investment types. Long periods of gestation period can be avoided and diversion of resources. 5. It results in hoarding and black marketing. 6. Inflexibility in economic system can be a major cause of concern. 7. Continuous depreciation of value reduces liquidity preference to minimum and results in flight of currency between the countries. Page 221. 2nd. Redistributive effects. 1. Inflation adversely affects the fixed income groups because of reduction in real purchasing power. 2. Inflationary situation is favorable to investing public oblique class. 3. Debtors are generally benefited while creditors are the worst sufferers. 4. Agricultural community, non-cultivating landlords and farm laborers are the worst sufferers. 3rd. Social, political and moral effects. It is experienced by many across the globe that inflationary situation is socially not desirable, politically disastrous and morally unethical. Limitations of inflation. Inflation is a dynamic phenomenon, but nature-wise it is static. It suffers from the following limitations. 1. Time lags. There are time lags between the receipt of income and its expenditure and between the adjustment of wages and prices. But for these time lags, inflation during and after war periods would have been much more serious and disastrous. 2. Current flows. Inflationary gap deals with current flows of income, spending, consumption, investment, savings, etc. But inflation being a dynamic phenomenon, the increase in price and expectations of price rise do not affect the current output alone. They also affect the output which has been previously produced and is still available in the market. 6.24 points to remember. 1. Classical theory assumes the existence of full employment. 2. It believes in self-adjusting economy without government intervention. 3. Say's law of market states that supply creates its own demand. 4. Wage cut is a remedy for unemployment. 5. Keynes propagates the existence of unemployment equilibrium. 6. To Keynes, it is demand that creates supply. 7. To classicists, savings and investment, equality is brought about by ROI for Keynes, it is income. Page 222. 8. Consumption function explains the relationship between increased and income and consumption. 9. Investment function is determined by MEC and ROI. 10. Multiplies ratio between change in income due to change in investment. 11. MEC is the expected yield on investment. 12. QTM explains the proportional change in price level due to change in quantity of money. 13. Fisher's equation highlights the medium of exchange function of money. 14. Cambridge equation highlights store of value function of money. 15. Inflation refers to the continuous increase in general price level. 6.25. Keywords. Full employment equilibrium, Say's law of market, wage cut policy, rate of interest, wage price flexibility, effective demand, underemployment equilibrium, consumption function, psychological law of consumption, marginal propensity to consume, propensity to invest, marginal efficiency of capital, multiplier, accelerator, demand for money, motives to hold cash, quantity theory of money, cash transaction approach, cash balance approach, and inflation. Check your progress. Section A. 2 marks question. Answer in 5 to 6 sentences. 1. State Say's law of market. 2. What do you mean by wage price flexibility? 3. Write any 4 assumptions of classical theory. Page 223. 4. What is effective demand? 5. What is consumption function? 6. What is APC / MPC? 7. What is propensity to invest? 8. Define MEC. 9. What is multiplier? 10. Define accelerator. 11. What is value of money? 12. Write 3 motives to hold cash. 13. Write Fisher's equation. 14. Write key Cambridge equations. 15. What is inflation? Section B. 5 marks questions. Answer in 15 to 20 sentences. 1. Write a note on Say's law of market. 2. Write a note on wage price flexibility. 3. What is effective demand? 4. Explain consumption function. 5. Write a note on the working of multiplier / accelerator. 6. Explain cash transaction approach. 7. Explain cash balance approach. 8. Explain the effects of inflation. Section C. 5 marks question. Answer in 30 to 40 sentences. 1. Critically examine the classical theory of employment. 2. Critically examine Keynesian theory of employment. 3. What is consumption function? Explain the factors that determine it and its practical significance. 4. What is MEC? Explain the factors that determine it and its importance. 5. Critically evaluate the working of multiplier. 6. Critically examine Fisher's equation. 7. Explain cash balance approach to QTM, how it is superior to Fisher's equation. 8. What is inflation? Explain the types, effects, and limitations of it. Page 224. 6.27. References and suggested readings. Various articles in the following websites are referred and quoted. www.articlelibrary.com, that is www.articlelibrary.com, www.msn.com, www.valuenotes.com, and www.scribd.com and www.google.com. Frank Bernanke, Principles of Economics. H.L. Ahuja, Macroeconomics. M.M. Gupta, Macroeconomics. Agarwal, Macroeconomics. Paul Wonnicott, Macroeconomics. W.H. Branson, Macroeconomic Theory and Policy. Samuelson, P.A., Principles of Economics. M. L. Jingan, Macroeconomic Theory. Sampath Kumar Mukherjee, Modern Economic Theory. Sundaram K. M., Macroeconomics. and Mithani Diem, A Course of Monetary Economics.